Wow, man. I think that was live today, wasn't it? Wow, that is awesome. You guys you are awesome. I love you guys. You're so awesome. And you know what I appreciate about this band is their humble spirit, because they have this humble spirit about them, you know, and it's just amazing, and I'm so thankful for them. Guys, I'm going to tell you, it's an awesome worship team. Let's give the Lord a good hand for them this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. Blessed. Blessed. Man, I love worship. I'm sure you do too. And man, turn to somebody this morning and say, you're in the right place today. Amen? And stand with me, if you would, today and turn to Jeremiah 29 and 11. Jeremiah 29 and 11 today. We're just going to speak out of this and go through some thoughts this morning for you, and just know God has got nothing but good for you today. Listen to what he says here. In this place we're living in right now, in this country, in this season that we're in, there's a lot of hopelessness and negativity out there. And as a believer, if you're not careful, you can fall into that. You can turn me down just a little bit, Aaron. As a believer, if you're not careful, you can fall into that negativity. But I want to tell you this morning, God is a good, good God. And I want to tell you something else. God has only got good for you. You believe that and receive it. Listen to what he says out of Jeremiah. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace. Thoughts of shalom, nothing lacking and nothing broken, and not of evil. God is not an evil God. God is a good, 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 good daddy. No matter what you've heard over the years, no matter what philosophy you came up on, no matter what someone has told you, no matter what some preacher has spoken in your life, I want to clarify today that God is only a good God. Amen? And not of evil, to give you a future. God's got a future for us. Not only has he got a future for us, but he has a hope for us today. Amen? Praise God. We're going to talk about that this morning. Let's hold up your Bible. Say it with the pastor like you mean it today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Now turn around to somebody, give them a virtual high five and say, God's got good for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know what you've gone through in this past week or past year, and you know, maybe you faced some real challenges in your life. Maybe some things have gone on. You faced a lot of challenges, and maybe you've even received a bad report, you know. But I want you to know that you can find hope in God this morning. God is a God of hope. Amen. The world doesn't know God's plans and purposes, and that's why they end up ruining what God has given to them. Because they just don't know what God has for them, and so they end up ruining. They ruin their bodies, they ruin their relationships, they even ruin this earth because they don't know how good God is and what God has for them. So God has some dreams for us. You know God's a dreamer? Amen? He's got some dreams for you, amen? Number one, he created us to be conformed to the image of Jesus. God has created us to look just like Jesus. Amen? As Jesus is, the Bible says, so are we, even in this present world. So what Jesus has, God wants us to have. Amen? Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 26 and 27. Acts 2, 26 and 27. Amen? Listen to what Jesus said. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. Will rest in hope. Look at verse 27. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Even Jesus, when he was facing the grave, had hope. Even in the grave, Jesus had hope. Amen. I don't know of any worse situation, and I'm so glad this morning that you're alive and well, and we're not at your funeral today. Amen. I'm so glad you're here this morning, but I want to tell you, whatever place you find yourself in Christ, you can be of assurance to have hope today. You can be of assurance that God is on your side. You can be of assurance that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? Because God is that good of a God today. Not only does he have this assurance and wants us to be transformed into that very image, but also the church, he wants the church to have this hope that he had. He wants us to have the same hope that he had. Amen? I just want you to think about this morning. The devil wants people to think that the church is just a building or a massive group, a government organization. But the church is not an organization. An organization is something that is not alive. The church is an organism. It is functioning. It is live. It is breathing. And the church of any institution or anything in the world should be breathing the hope of Jesus Christ, especially in the day that we find ourselves. Because of all the dismay and all the things that are going on, we need to be the voice of victory in this world. We need to be the voice of hope in this world. Amen? Come on, you can give him some praise. He's good. Come on, put your hands together and praise him if you believe that today. God wants us to have that hope and be that hope to this world. The world is in need of hope today. The world, for many people, are without hope. That's why suicide levels are so high, because people are hopeless. But God never wants you to be hopeless. God wants you to be in hope this morning. Amen. God is always giving to his people in and through the church. God's heart is always, always to give and not be skimpy. He lavishes us. Come on, anybody know that? He lavishes us with blessings. Anybody believe that besides Pastor? He lavishes us with benefits. The Bible says he daily loads us with benefits. Amen? You ever get an insurance policy and you want to know what the benefits are, right? You want to know what? Spell me out the benefits to this. Well, I'm telling you, we've got great benefits in Jesus Christ today. We've got good hope in Jesus Christ today. Amen. He never, ever says, unless you get in line, I won't bless you. He never, ever says, I won't help you unless you change. He never, ever says, I won't heal you if you remain like that. No, that's not our God. We serve a God that is so good that even while we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. He loves you unequivocally just the way you are. Amen. Does he change us? Absolutely. How does he change us? When we become, be transformed and revolutionized by his love, there is a change that takes place. His love changes us. Woo! Turn to somebody and say, he's really preaching better than your amen this morning. Come on, somebody, amen. Look at this scripture over in James 1:5. Let's put this up in the NIV because we've used this, and I want you to see what really God is saying. James 1:5 in the NIV. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously, everybody say generously, to how many? To just a few? To just some preacher somewhere? No, to all, listen to this, without finding fault, God never finds fault in you because of Jesus. That is an amazing statement. God generously gives to us, never finds fault in us because of Jesus. The problem that we get hung up on is we don't believe it. We condemn ourselves and we say, oh, I've messed up. I've done wrong. You know, man, these things are happening in my life. I wonder if God really loves me. That is religious bunk. God really loves you in spite of yourself and your mistakes and where you are. He cares so much about you today that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, and that you, would believe on him should not perish but to have everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That word saved means delivered, whole, healed, prospering. Hallelujah. That's what God's done for you. Man, that's the good news of the gospel. Amen. Wow. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates that love towards us while we were yet sinners. And the Old Testament proves that everything under man's control will always fail. Everything that is under man's control will always fail. Listen to me. When God gave man the perfect environment in the Garden of Eden, they sinned. When God gave man at Mount Sinai the Ten Commandments, they sinned. When God instituted man as judges and kings, they rebelled, they failed, and they sinned. When man finally came to the end of himself, grace stepped in. Woo! Aren't you glad grace stepped in? Grace always steps in when we come to the end of ourselves. Today, you may feel like, well, Pastor, I'm at the end of yourself. Don't worry. Grace is standing right next to you today to lift you up and to give you hope. Hallelujah. Grace is standing right where you're seated today to give you hope. You may feel at this time in your life you don't know what's going on. I want to tell you that's the point where grace steps in and takes over in your life. You know who grace is? Grace is a name. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And when we come to the end of our rope, he's right there at that end. And that's what his strength gives us, the strength to rise up above. Man, that is some good, good news. Amen. When you have no more strength, you're in the position to receive the abundance of God's grace. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Look what Paul said here. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect where? Perfect in weakness. Why is that? Because it's out of our control now. God, it has to be all you. And when it becomes all you, it becomes all him. Amen. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Amen. God is not the one that brings suffering in this world. God is not the one that brings suffering in your life. God is not the one that brings sickness in your life. God does not put sickness on you, disease on you. God doesn't do any of those things. God is only capable of good. You say, wow, Pastor, that's the first time I've heard that. Then that's the first time you've really heard the gospel. Because that is the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why it's called the gospel, the good news. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's the enemy that brings things into people's lives. It's the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But it's Jesus who comes to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. Amen? We are living in a fallen world, and there's sin in this world, and sin always has consequences. But Jesus has overcome sin. Thank God Jesus has overcome sin. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. You say, well, man, I've got a lot of stuff going on in my life. It doesn't matter. Grace abounds that stuff. Why is grace abounding? Because God's desire is you and I have a relationship with us, and he took care of that sin problem over 2,000 years ago because he desires to have a relationship with you and a relationship with me. He desires to give us that hope in our life. There is hope in Jesus Christ today. Thank you, Lord. Romans 5, chapter 1. Let's look at this for just a moment. I want you to see this. Therefore, since we have been justified through our efforts. I need to read that again, don't I? Therefore, since we've been justified through believing, through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Next verse, look at this. Amen. Through whom we have gained access by believing into this grace in which we now what? Now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Do you realize where we're standing this morning? We are standing on favored ground. The world doesn't know anything about this. They believe in luck, but you have God's favor. Let me tell you, God's favor trumps luck anytime. Amen? God's favor on your life is what you're standing on. You're standing on grace. You're standing on God's favor. And everywhere you go, you have the favor of God in your life. If you have the knowledge of that and recognize that, that you are the favored of God. So every time you go to Walmart and a parking place opens up right up front, thank you, Lord, for that favor. Hallelujah. Every time you go to a restaurant and there seems like there's a line, but they call your name first, thank you, Lord, for that favor. Come on, somebody. Amen. God's favor is on your life. And the more you recognize the favor of God on your life, the more favor you see taking place in your life. Amen. It's God's favor that we have in our life. The world doesn't know anything about favored ground. And you and I are on favored ground. Woo! Man, I thank God for his favor. I'd rather have God's favor than luck any day. Amen? God's favor is always with me. God favors open doors that no man can't shut. Amen? Listen to this. We boast in the hope. We rejoice. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. It's really interesting. Now, I've taught on this, but I want to share this with you. Hope in the Greek refers to a positive expectation of good. Vine's word study says this, the favorable and confident expectation of good. And this most frequently is used to describe the happy expectation of good. Turn to somebody and say, no Eeyore Christian. Oh, my. Anybody know Eeyore? Anybody a Winnie Pooh fan? You know, I used to watch Winnie Pooh. Oh, dear. Oh, it's dread all the time. Isn't it amazing how Christians can fall into this dread theology, amen? When God says, no, 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 really, if you understand what I've got for you, I've only got good. And you can be happy all the time, happy in the expectation of good is coming my way. I don't know about you, but I believe good is coming my way. I expect good when I wake up on Monday morning. I expect good when I wake up on Tuesday morning. I expect good on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I expect good 365 days a year. In fact, the Bible said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I expect good every day of my life because of what Jesus has done for me on the cross. Come on, let's put our hands together and give him some praise if you believe that this morning. Amen. He is a good, good father today. He's got good for us today. He loves you. He's got good for your children today. You can be in hope. You can be in expectation of good coming into your life. Amen? And we boast. Listen to this. That hope causes us to rejoice in the glory of God, to hope in the glory of God. You know what hoping in the glory of God? Hoping in the glory of God is the manifestation. God's glory is his manifestation. So I put my hope in God, not what man says to me, not what someone says about me, not what some doctor calls my sickness. I put hope in the glory of God, and that constant expectation of good, listen to me, it's going to manifest in my life. Glory is going to manifest in my life when I have the constant expectation of good going on in my heart. Woo! In other words, healing is just going to manifest. Finances are going to manifest. Peace is going to manifest in my life. Why? Because I've got hope, a constant expectation of good going on in my life. Turn to somebody and say, no dread here. Oh, but Pastor, we're so worried about who's going to get in the White House. Why? Why? It doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it does. No, because I want to tell you, we live in Goshen, not in the world. Now, I'm going to vote, and I'm going to vote for the right one, and there's only one right one. I'm sorry. Amen. There's only one right one. And the only reason that they're the right one is because they're on the right platform. I don't vote. I told you I don't vote for a personality. I vote for a platform. And I can have a constant expectation of good because I know, amen, as a believer today, I have authority in my life. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. No weapon formed against the church is going to prosper. And I want to tell you what the right platform is if you don't know. Can I just tell you what the right platform is this morning? You may not like me, you don't love me, but I don't care. God likes me and God loves me. The right platform is pro-life. That's only one platform. Pro-life. It's been an atrocity what's gone through our nation over the years. These little babies. But I want to tell you, I am a pro-life preacher, and I'm not ashamed of it. Amen and amen. And if you, listen to me, if you've gone through the tragedy of an abortion today, God loves you so much. And God's got good for you. And God has forgiven you. And God cares about you. And God's got hope for you. You can be in constant expectation of good. Amen? That baby is in the arms of Jesus today, and one day you're going to get to see him. But I want to tell you, get out of that mully grubs today. Put on a good face and let the world know that maybe I made a mistake, but God still loves me, and I've got a bright future today. Come on, somebody. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. We have hope this morning. Woo! Still love me? You have to. The Bible says you do. Amen. I still love you in spite of yourself at times. God is so awesome. Amen. Hallelujah. Where am I at right now, Lord? Glory to God. We stand in hope. We boast in hope. Amen. We are to boast in the happy expectation of God's favor on our life and a future that he has for us that's only good. Amen. We can look forward to his glory being manifested in our life because of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Oh, but man, the doctor gave me a bad report. That doesn't matter what the doctor says. You've got hope in Jesus today. You cling to that hope and realize manifestation's coming in my life. Healing is coming in my life. I believe I'm standing on the wholeness of God right now. Healing's being transformed into your life and transferred into your life today. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go on down. Next verse. Look at this. Verse 4. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. What? We do what? We rejoice in our sufferings. Now listen to me. The only time a Christian should suffer is from persecution. Y'all get that? Turn to somebody and say, did you get that? The only time a Christian should suffer is from persecution. Paul said, I have a thorn in my flesh. A messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me. It was persecution. It wasn't something in Paul's flesh literally. It was persecution coming his way from a messenger that was confronting him to try to kill him from stopping him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was his thorn in the flesh. Persecution, suffering. Jesus said, you're going to have persecution in this world, but be of good cheer. Wow. Imagine that. You're going to go through. If you're a believer, you're going to go through some things. If you really are a believer, you will be persecuted at times. Listen to me. People will talk about you. People will criticize you. You get on Facebook, someone may say something ugly to you. You're being persecuted. You should rejoice, not fall apart. Oh, God, you know what they said about me? What does persecution do? Persecution, suffering, produces something. It produces perseverance. Everybody say perseverance. It makes you hang in there. You finally get to the point where it doesn't matter what somebody else's opinion is of you. It really matters what God's opinion of you is. Is that good language? Amen. That's what it really matters. What's God's opinion of you? Not what someone else says about you on social media or behind your back. Look at them. They think they're this and that. That doesn't matter. What matters about you is what God thinks about you. And you know what God thinks about you? He thinks you're real special. He thinks you're his beloved. He thinks you're his favorite son and daughter. That's what God thinks about you. It produces perseverance. And this is what perseverance produces. Perseverance produces character. How many know character is vitally important? Character is vitally important. Character is vitally important. You know, someone once said that talent will take you to the top, but character will keep you there. That'll preach. You know, it's we have people come into the church quite a bit over the years, and I've had people come, and they had their long litany of all this stuff they've done, you know, and they'd say, oh, Pastor, I've done this, and I've done that, and I've preached here, and I've been a missionary, and I've done this, and I've done that. And that's the first thing they tell me when they come through the door. Then I have other people that come into the church, and I hardly know them. And those that come through the door first time, they'll often say, oh, we got your back, Pastor. I've done this, I've done that, I've got your back. And I turn around, and they've got my back so far back, I can't see them because they're gone. Because they wanted to come in and teach or get a teaching position. Now, you got to understand, I guard this. And the reason I guard this is because of Ewan's. Because I don't want somebody that I really don't know to come up here and start teaching something that I don't understand or not fully aware of, or maybe it's a different thing. So I guard this. I have people that come in here that are very select. I just wouldn't let anybody come in here and get into this pulpit because, you know what? I'm accountable for this. To God and to you. And so I want to make sure whoever comes in and shares this or teaches, because teaching, I think, is the highest position that anyone can be given in the body of Christ. Would you agree with that? I believe that they need to have good character. That's why the Bible says, you know, take time to get to know someone. It's like if somebody came to me and they told me, hey, I've been a pilot for, 30 years, and I have my IFR rating, and I have my commercial rating, and I'm an instructor, I'm a CFI, and I want to fly your plane. You know what I say? No. No, man. Ain't going to do it. Well, why? Why won't you let me do it? Because I don't know you, and I don't know how you fly. I don't know if you go through the checklist like you should. I don't know your real background. I've only known you a few minutes. I want to get to know you. Character is so critical. We all don't get it right. Don't listen to me. Grace is given to everyone. We need to give grace to people. People that had passed and had a bad background and done things and messed up, we need to love them the same as if they've never done anything, right? But at the same point, we have to hold people accountable at times and say, hey, amen, character matters. Turn to somebody and say, character matters. So I just wouldn't let anybody just jump in. I have a friend of mine that I've known him for several years, I realized he came to me and says, hey, man, I haven't got the chance to go up with you. And I said, hey, no problem, let's go. I knew him, and he's a pilot. And after a little bit in the plane, I said, hey, would you like to fly? And I showed him everything. He said, yeah. I said, your controls. He took over and flew it beautifully. I had another guy that purchased a plane from me, and he wanted me to give him a few lessons. So I said, look, man, I'm not a CFI, but I know enough. I'll take you up, and we'll fly around the pattern a little bit. I took him up. I flew around the pattern, and, I said, okay. And I said, okay, your plane. And he was like this. And I said, my plane. My plane. Thank you very much. Amen. And the guy ended up buying the plane, and I said, listen, you've got to get lessons in this thing. I don't want you to kill yourself or somebody else. You've got to get lessons. And he wanted me to fly him up to Michigan. That's where he lived. I said, great, I'll fly you up to Michigan. If I do the takeoff, I do the landing, and I'll let you fly some. Why is that? Because I didn't know him. Know people that labor among you. When you come into the body of Christ, I think everybody should get involved in the body of Christ. How many would say amen to that? Amen. When you come in, there's a lot of places to get involved in. Get involved. Amen. Let us know you. That's what Paul said. And character produces what? Hope. Suffering produces perseverance, the ability to hang in there when you go through things, right? Perseverance produces character. People with character can be trusted. Character produces hope. Amen? And look what hope does. Hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Another version, the King James or the New King James says, hope does not bring us to shame. Hope will never put you in shame. Oh, you didn't hear what I'm saying. I need to say that again. Hope will never put you in shame. The world says, oh, don't raise your hopes up. You need to say to the world, don't raise your hopelessness up. Hope never brings shame to you. When you have expectation of goodness of God, you will never have shame going along with it. God wants us to have hope. Hold your hope up high. Just saying. We want to have a happy expectation of good, don't we? The world says if you raise your hopes, you'll be disappointed. It's true that hope without Christ has no power. But hope in Christ has power that goes along with it, has anointing that goes along with it. As a believer, our hope has power. It will not put us to shame. Our hope, in fact, is that Jesus bore our sins and our punishment of our sins. Amen? And there's nothing from our past that will come back to haunt us in the future because Jesus already took care of it. Woo! That's a good statement. Amen. Will you give me, how many of you give me 5 more minutes this morning? Come on, give me 5 more minutes. Come on, raise your hand. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. All right. Here we go. So raise your hope this morning. There is nothing except good waiting for you in your future. Amen. The hope will not put you to shame. If you're sick, you can have hope that you're going to get well. You can have an expectation of good if you're going to get well. If you're going through a financial difficulty this morning, you can have hope that God's going to bring you out on the other side. You will not be put to shame. Amen? Man, if you have confusion going on in your life, you can know God can straighten out your mind, give you healing, and give you hope today. You can have an expectation that God is going to deliver you from your mess. Come on, somebody say amen. God is going to deliver you and put a sound mind in your heart and mind today. He loves you that much. He cares about you that much. Amen. God is the God of hope. He is behind your hope. You're not just saying, I hope this good thing will happen one day without power. God has given you power to see that hope come to pass. Wow. Amen. Oh, Jesus, you're so good. Amen. Before you can see what your breakthrough looks like, you need hope first. Some people say faith is more important than hope. It's true that faith is the currency of heaven. How many know that? Faith is the hand that takes from God what grace has provided. But look at Hebrews 11:1. Let me show you this real quick this morning. Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now faith, everybody say now faith. Now faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If faith is the substance of things hoped for, then hope comes before faith. Without hope, we can't be in faith. Faith is the substance, in other words, the foundation of what we are hoping for. So faith, listen to me, faith is under you, it's your foundation, and hope is in front of you. You have faith under you and hope in front of you. faith unto you, receiving all that God has for you, and hope, expecting that God is such a good God, it's going to come to pass. The expectation of good is working with your faith to see those things come to pass. Oh, that is so good, Pastor. I will amen myself. Amen, Pastor. Amen. God is so good. Stop worrying. You know, the old English word for worry is strangle. Strangle. It's taking the life out of you. Stop worrying. Start trusting in the very hope of God. How many of you believe in the Lord's Supper? We take the Lord's Supper here. We do it. I don't do it every Sunday. I do it, you know, periodically. But let me tell you something. He called it the Lord's Supper for a reason. If you notice, it's not the Lord's breakfast. Have you ever thought about that? It's the Lord's Supper. And the reason it's supper, because it was taken at evening time during the darkest part to give and shed light and hope on the night and the coming day. You just got to let that sink in a little bit. When the disciples on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus broke bread, the Bible says their eyes were open. If you want a revelation of all that God has for you, you just need to get this expectation of hope. And when you receive communion, just let your eyes be open. I believe communion is the key to rhema knowledge and revelation in our life of all that God has for us. You know why? Because communion, the last meal, the ending meal, the supper meal, is a revelation of the finished work of Jesus. And when we can say it's been finished, it's done, and that means you don't have to do anything but believe on him to receive. That's a good, good daddy. Would you stand this morning? Come on, let's give him some praise today. Amen. Hallelujah. God, you are so good. You know, I don't know where you are this morning, where you are in your life today. I don't know, you know, where you come from or what religion you came out of, but I want to tell you, God loves you, and I think and I hope and I pray that through this message today, you've received this hope. You may be watching this morning over Now Network. God bless you. I pray you receive this hope today. And if you're here this morning, I'd like for you to pray a prayer with me. Would you do that today? If you don't know the Lord, just pray it, and believers, pray it with me today. Say, Jesus, thank you today that you died for me. And that you rose again. You've given me hope today. The expectation of good. You have forgiven all of my sins. And I receive all that you have. All your love into my life today. Thank you for changing my life today. Giving me hope and expectation of good. And a future today. In spite of what the world's going through. I've got a future in Jesus Christ today. I receive all that you have for me in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give God some praise this morning. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer this morning in room 3, Crystal will meet you back there this morning and be glad to give you some material and just bless you today. And we're so thankful for you today. Before we go, let's make a couple more confessions this morning. Hold your hand up and say, thank you, Lord. You are my healer, my deliverer. Today I declare I walk in wholeness. I walk in soundness of mind. I have the victory. The victory is mine today. Thank you, Lord. I walk in that. I'm in expectation of good in all areas of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's shout a good praise to the Lord. Amen. He is worthy. Hallelujah. Give somebody a high five today. Tell them you love them this morning. Amen.